Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We are in a little short little series around the word let. And tonight's message is called Christian Lettuce. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Dear Father, there are so many good things in these verses. This short passage of Scripture has so many messages in it. But tonight, Father, we only have one that we're concerned with, and I pray that by your grace, by your Spirit, you would enable it to go forth. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant and the heart of your people, and that you would do your work, your way, accomplish your will for your glory. I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us and encourage us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you might guide us and direct us and help us to be more than when we came in. We ask your blessing. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of Hebrews appeals to the believer to hold fast our profession in light of the fact that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. In other words, I think this is a way of God perhaps saying, I've got your back. You've heard that phrase, right? And when someone tells you they have your back, that gives you courage, gives you confidence. You have courage because you have someone with you. You're not alone. Number two, you have confidence because you have someone covering what you cannot see. The word seeing that starts verse 14 has the meaning of because we know and understand. What do we know and understand? Well, number one, we know that Jesus Christ is risen and ascended into heaven. Number two, we know that he is sinless. Number three, that because of him we can boldly enter the throne room of grace. And number four, that we can find help with our infirmities and temptations from someone who understands. Those four points are in that passage. And that's what we know. What a blessing to know that. What a confidence. What a privilege. But wait a minute, that word seeing in verse 14 is designed to cause faith that motivates to action. What is the action? Well, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. You see that little phrase, let us? The Lord Jesus has done his part and has provided all that we need to be all that he wants us to be. And to do all that he wants us to do. The question is not with him. The question is with us. The phrase is, let us. And it shifts the action from Christ to the believer. And so here you have the scripture telling us what Jesus did, what Jesus did, what Jesus did, what Jesus did. And then it says, now I'm shifting that from you, the action. He already did his action. Now the action shifts to you as a believer. What are you doing? What are you going to do? This phrase, let us, is making a request or a proposal to do something we are allowed to do and can do. That phrase, let us, means we're allowed to do this. And it also means we can do it. Or we wouldn't be asked to do it. God doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do by His grace. So I want to pivot, just mention something about loving the Lord. We must be careful not to try and manufacture love. By that I mean there are times when we can put the love of others or the love of other things in front of our love for Christ. And we must be careful not to get the mindset of this. If I just do this or do that, I'll love the Lord more. No. When we love the Lord more, then we will do this or that. You get it? The formula is not, if I put church in front of overtime, then I will love God more. It's not, if I choose youth group over sports for my child, then I will love God more. No, the formula is, when I love God more, then I will choose church over overtime. When I love God more, then I will choose youth group over sports for my child. Love is a thing that flows from the inside out and expresses itself in action. Love is not something we can manufacture. Love is what God is, and love is what God gives, and all we can do is allow that love to do its thing. I want to love God more, and I want to love God better. How can I do that? By allowing or letting the love of God that He has put in me to manifest itself and demonstrate itself through me. We need to cultivate a little Christian lettuce. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You see, the word let us means allow God to love through us because we are born of His Spirit. In 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. You don't smile in their face and stab them in the back. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. Notice the word let in each of these verses means to allow. These are things that have to do with love and can be done only if we allow God's love to have its way. We can love one another, we can love in deed and truth, we can love without dissimulation, and we can see brotherly love continue. How? By just allowing it to. It's already there, right? Didn't He say He shed His love abroad in our hearts? So we just need to let it happen. We need to let love do its thing by not stifling it by our sinful human nature and self-will. But the next question is, yes, but how can I do that? Well, I think there are a couple of things we can do in this regard. Number one, turn with me to Psalm 51:10. We need to, number one, let God create. God is the creator. We looked at that Sunday. But look what David's talking about here in Psalm 51:10. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our God is the creator God, and David is not rolling up his sleeves and saying, dear God, I will just try harder. Although he should try harder. David's not saying, yeah, I know I messed up, but next time I won't. No, he's falling upon the mercy of God and asking God to create something within him. For the creative power of God to create within him a clean heart. The word clean means morally pure. Only God can do that. Because we're not morally pure. None of us are morally pure on our own. We're all morally impure on our own. We just have to be on our own for a minute. And we know the truth of that. The reason we don't love as we should is because our hearts have become dirtied by the flesh and by the world. We allow thoughts and attitudes and motives and doubts to arise in our hearts. And we allow roots of bitterness to spring up in our hearts, and thereby, the scripture says, defile us. David is asking the Lord, the Creator God, to come and cleanse his heart and thereby create a clean heart. Once again, we need to come before God and ask him to do this in us. You see, it's more than Christian resolve. It's God doing something that we ourselves cannot do. How can I love God the way I should when my heart is not clean? I can't, right? He also asks God to renew a right spirit within him. Sometimes we're operating by the spirit of man and not the spirit of God. Whenever we are operating by the spirit of man, we will not be able to love God as we should. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." You see, the spirit of man does not know how to love God. And the spirit of man cannot even love God. It's incapable of loving God. The only way a sinner saved by grace can truly love God is by the spirit of God which is in him, as he produces his fruit of love in the believer. And when the Holy Spirit's producing the fruit of love, he produces that fruit first toward God. And then secondly, toward others. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The Spirit of God can create within a man or a woman a right spirit, a spirit that is right with God. This is David's prayer of repentance. After having been adulterous with Bathsheba and killing her husband to hide it, he's admitting to God that when he did such a thing, it was evidence that he was operating by the human spirit and had an evil in his heart. The problem was he was still operating that way until God sent Nathan the prophet to challenge him and bring him to a place of repentance before God. You remember that? And so he was going through all the motions, wasn't he? He was being the king, and he was being the leader, and he was being whatever he had to be and doing whatever he was supposed to do, but he wasn't right with God, and he still had evil in his heart. You know, we can play the game. You know, we can keep stuff going when we have a bad spirit and evil in our heart. David did. And nobody knew except God. And I am sure that God knocked on David's door from time to time. And I'm sure that God, by the Spirit, tried to convict David from time to time. But David wasn't paying attention. So God went over to a prophet and said, "Nathan, you got to help me with this. David isn't listening to me. You got to go talk to him face to face." And I'll tell you, I don't think Nathan really reveled in the fact that he had to go to the king and tell him what he had to tell him. I mean, can you imagine saying to King David, "Thou art the man"? But he did what God wanted him to do. You see, David was operating by the human spirit by covering up his sin. The human spirit's first response is to hide. When we get in trouble, the first thing we want to do is hide. We want to hide the evidence. Then we want to go and hide. Even from God. People are hiding from God right now. There may be people in this auditorium that are hiding something from God. You think you're hiding from God. You think you're getting away with it. You think he'd... Listen, if you're watching or listening, you might be hiding. Trying to hide from God. Hoping God won't know. God won't see. Hoping even more that God won't do. But when confronted with the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, he was shown his true condition, and he repented. The Word of God was a light that shined in the recesses of his heart and revealed the evil lurking there and the spirit that tried to hide it. David is asking God to take away the dirty heart and the wrong spirit and replace it with a clean heart and a right spirit so that he could once again be a man after God's own heart and love God like he should. We need a little lettuce tonight. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So let us let God create in us a clean heart and a right spirit. Number two, go to Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. So we need to let God create in us. Number two, we need to let God help us. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This man came to the Lord asking for what? For help. Now I'm sure that he's done everything a father could do to help his son. But he was incapable of helping him. He no doubt had taken him to the physicians and to the psychiatrists and to the pharmacists, but they could not help. So he brought him to the Lord Jesus. Maybe too often we're trying to help when we should be asking for help. Sometimes we have gone to everyone else for help, but not to the only one who can really help. And so he brought him to the Lord Jesus. I ask, is Jesus our first resort or our last resort? I want to say this, I'll tell you. I'm glad that he's willing to be my last resort. But I should not want him to be my last resort. I should want him to be my first resort. But he's so loving and kind and compassionate and glorious and gracious to us and long-suffering that he's willing to be our last resort if he has to. But we shouldn't put him in that place. He should be our first resort. This man came what he came to find, but only after he changed his perspective. In verse 22, he says to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What's wrong with that statement? He uses the word if thou canst. At this point, he really wasn't sure if Jesus could. Aren't we like that sometimes? Oh, we'd never admit it. Why did he have this doubt? I think it's because he had already brought his son to his disciples and they couldn't cast him out. Went to the religious people, didn't he? First he went to the physicians and then he went to the religious people. Now he's finally coming to Jesus. Kind of like the lady that spent all her living at the physicians. Couldn't get healed. But she went to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, boom, healed. You know, why couldn't these disciples help him? Well, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief." And look at Mark 9, 29. They asked him again in verse 28, "Why could we not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." You see, because of their unbelief and they're not being spirit-filled, they were not able to cast out the demon. A person can have a spiritual gift and exercise that spiritual gift in his or her own power and have a limited and temporary effect. But if that same person is exercising his or her spiritual gift in the power of the Holy Ghost, it will have a powerful and a lasting impact. But I want you to notice his change of perspective in verse 24. Look what he says. He said, "Lord, I believe." But then what does he say? "Help thou mine unbelief." He's saying, "I believe a little. Would you help me believe enough? Would you help me believe like I should believe?" He's asking for help. He came asking for help for his son, and now he ends up asking for help for himself. His son's not the only one that's got the problem. Oh, his son has that problem, but this man has another problem, and the problem is he didn't have faith. He didn't believe like he should, like he could. So now he's saying, "Help me now. Help my unbelief." You see how our unbelief can affect others? This man's unbelief affected his son. Perhaps we need to be honest with the Lord and say, "Lord, I love you, but help me love you like I should. Lord, I believe, but help me believe like I should. Lord, I'm serving, but help me serve you like I should." So we need a little help, don't we? And we need to go to the Lord and be honest with him and say, "Lord, I'm not all that. Lord, I can't do it without you. Lord, listen, I don't want to do it without you. I need help, Lord." And we need help all day long. Sometimes we're operating on 3/4 of a tank of us and 1/4 of a tank of the Spirit. And we're wondering why we're sputtering. Why are we doing that? Because we got 3/4 a tank of us and 1/4 tank of Jesus. You're not going to go anywhere fast or efficiently that way. 10 times in the book of Psalms alone, David asks God to help him. Sometimes we're like the little child that proudly and stubbornly says, "I can do it myself." At least that's our attitude. You know, we need to just let God help us. And then 3, we need to let God work. I return to the Christian lettuce. We need to allow God's love that is already in us to have its way with us. We need to allow him to create in us a clean heart. We need to allow him to renew a right spirit within us. We need to allow him to help our unbelief. We need to let go of the things of the human spirit and mind and heart that hinder God's work in us and allow him to do great and mighty things which we know not. There's something perhaps God wants to do with you that you think could never be done with you. He might want to accomplish something in your life that you think God could never accomplish in my life. But he's able to do great and mighty things which we know not. We don't know right now what he's going to do. And we limit God. And we put him in a little box. And we say, well, Lord, you can be this big in my life. And he said, man, I want to do so much more. We need to let go, by the grace of God, of those things that hold us back and slow us down in the running of our race. Doesn't Hebrews 12:1 say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us? It's not that we can't, it's just that we won't. Well, I don't know if I can run this race. Yeah, you can. Well, I don't know if I can be faithful to the end. Yeah, you can. Why don't, yeah, you can. It's a matter that you, if you want to. He said, let us, right? Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. That means we're allowed to and we can. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. He's saying, you're allowed to and you can. There's a host of things that God desires to do in us and with us and through us if we'd only let him. We'd let him help us. We'd let him create in us what he wants to create in us. And help us do what he wants us to do. And let him work in our lives like he wants to work and do great and mighty things which we know not. You say, well, what if I live my whole Christian life and I don't do any great and mighty thing? It's a great and mighty thing to live a whole Christian life. Whatever you die as, if you lived for the Lord and you die, you're great and mightier than you were before you got saved. And it's a great and mighty life that you lived because it's a life you couldn't have lived without Jesus. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God by his Spirit and through his word works in our hearts and minds and spirit to make us willing to do. And then he gives us the power to do his good pleasure. Did you hear what he said? It's God that worketh in you both to will. He's working in you to bring you to be willing. And then after you're willing, he's working in you to do his good pleasure. Are you willing to do of God's good pleasure or your pleasure? And are you willing to do what God wants you to do for his pleasure? But it takes a little lettuce, doesn't it? 36 times in the New Testament we find the words, let us, written to the Christian. 12 times alone we find it in the book of Hebrews. There are things God wants to do in and through you and me, but it would require a little Christian lettuce. We can. But the question is, will we? Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, dear Christian, what is your Christian walk? What is in your Christian walk that you're not letting God have his way with? You will never experience your true potential as a believer without a little Christian lettuce. All the things that the New Testament writers said, let us do, are possible by the grace and power of God. It's not a matter of can he, it's a matter of will I. It's not can he, it's will I. And maybe tonight there's something you know in your life that God wants. Maybe tonight you'll let him have it. Maybe tonight you'll quit saying if and realize and say yes. Maybe you're here tonight or watching or listening. Let God forgive your sins. And let God save your soul tonight. He's paid the price. The price of the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declared on the cross, "It is finished." And demonstrated the victory of the cross by rising from the dead. And all he wants you to do is believe. He doesn't ask you to do anything. He doesn't ask you to promise anything. There was a man in the book of Acts that asked the Apostle Paul, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul didn't say get baptized. He didn't say go to church. He didn't say be a good person. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Who have you been trusting in? The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what have you been trying to do to get God to love you, or trying to do to get God to forgive you or save you? The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like Paul told the jailer. It's simple so that even the simple can get saved. It's free so that even the poor can get saved. And it's effortless so even the handicapped can be saved. It's available now so that you can be saved. And maybe you know you need to be saved. Say, "Preacher, I want to get saved right here, right now, in my seat, right now. I don't want to wait." Would you lift your hand up and say, "Here am I. I'm not waiting another minute. I know I'm not saved. I don't want to take any chance that I won't have a tomorrow. Because behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the say of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If you're a Christian, get a clean heart and a right spirit today. Don't boast about tomorrow. And if you're lost, get saved today. Don't count on a tomorrow. Heavenly Father, thank you for your time to hear us, to love us, to work with us, in us, through us. And Father, just the fact that you work with us, through us, and in us shows your greatness. Your majesty, the attributes that only you that you have that belong uniquely to you, because no one else would do that. No one else would die for our sins and rise again from the dead. No one else would take our sins upon them. No one else would put up with us. No one else can love us like you do. Help us to let you create in us what you want to create in us. To let you help us do what you want to help us do. And, Lord, to let you work in our lives the way you want to work. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing number 592. 592, "Jesus, I Come." Well, maybe you don't need to come to him for salvation, but maybe you need to come to him about something else tonight. Maybe you need to come and say, "Lord, here am I." Maybe you need to come tonight and say, "Lord, I'm going to let you." I don't know what it is. You do, and God does. Why don't you listen to him? We're going to sing on the first.